Alright, hello, welcome to Learn It From a Layman. I'm Carl Christensen, here again with Matt and Cameron, and we are now rid of Tim. Yay. People can rejoice. You can all breathe easily that we finally shed ourselves of his babble. Or maybe he's just at his sister's wedding. But it's one of those two things. All right, so this week we are going to be talking about 90s facts and fallacies. So we're going to dive into some of the interesting facts or what we might think is a fact from the 90s and see if we can identify which is which and share a little bit of insight about these 90s facts and we'll go from there. So I'm going to go ahead and kick it off. How this is going to go down? I'm going to I'm going to pitch something as a fact, and you can, Matt and Cameron, you can then chime in with what you believe is, if it is a true fact or a fallacy, and any insights you have about what I'm sharing. So we're going to start off with baseball, because I know you're both huge baseball fans. All right, so in the 90s, the New York Yankees were the team that won the most baseball games. So, fact or fallacy?
Fact.
I think that's a fact, but even if it wasn't, the big fact that one of the things that you got to remember is the 90s are foundational to our modern culture and thought patterns, because it was in the 90s that Yankee hatred truly came to the forefront of the national consciousness. So regardless of how many games they won, the more important thing that the 90s established was that the New York Yankees are the worst thing on the face of the earth, and we all hate them.
That is true. So I do have to give the caveat of my son has become a Yankees fan, which...
Ooh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That sounds like a personal failing.
Yeah, I consider myself much less of a father. I'm calling into question everything, so it is unfortunate. But yeah, so, okay, so... And the answer for this is it's a fallacy. The 90s were certainly, you could be forgiven, because I believe the Yankees were second in win total for the 90s, and they did have the most World Series wins in the 90s. However, the most winning team of the 90s was the Atlanta Braves. So the Braves were I don't know if you guys remember, you know, they were perennially good in the 90s, always won lots of games, and then managed to flame out in most of the playoffs. They won one World Series and mostly just didn't live up to their potential. So sad.
The Utah Jazz of the baseball world, except that they actually won a World Series.
That's correct, yes. They weren't going against Michael Jordan, to be fair to them, so... all right, so that is the baseball question, which we'll move on to things I think you're probably more familiar with. All right, so, this one might not be one you're more familiar with, but let's see. So, fact, the Michael Jackson sold the most records in the 1990s.
Ooh.
I'm going to say that's a fallacy, because he was huge in the early 90s and then disappeared from the face of the earth for a while and then only came back in about 2001. So he had a great start, but I don't think he was as consistent as... I don't know who else. 'Cause the 90s was kind of the era of artists coming and going and not being around for very long. I don't know. Maybe Metallica sold more albums.
Okay. Going with the heavy metal.
Well, they're not that heavy.
That's probably true.
They're mainstream.
That's my perception. Right. I'm not much of a hard rock person myself, so I don't know what their classification is exactly. All right. Cameron, what do you think?
That's a hard one. I know he did sell a lot of albums, and If we're counting the Jackson 5 with Michael, he might be up there even more. But I think
that 80s.
Yeah, that was more 80s. But you know, after they split up, I mean, that's kind of where you got to start. So if you kind of include those in, I think it kind of branched into the 90s a little bit. But I don't know. You have some really big pop bands that sold a lot of records. So, but maybe overall, I mean, and his sister, he had to compete with his sister too. Janet sold a ton. So
that's correct. Oh,
that would be hard to, I think Janet actually might have sold the most, not Michael.
Okay.
What's the answer here?
Okay. So, some good insights, Matt, and Cameron actually. So Michael Jackson he was huge in the 80s. I mean, and the list I saw, it said it had him listed as number 5 overall record seller in the 80s. So not even the top in the 80s, but certainly in the top 10, top 5. However, in the 90s, yeah, he dropped off precipitously. And so I believe Janet Jackson actually did outsell him in the 90s. So Mariah Carey, though, is the answer. Mariah Carey, number one by, I believe, a wide margin. So, and Madonna, number two. So, names that we're familiar with, I would not...
indictment on 90s culture, more than I'm going to hear tonight.
Right. I was very surprised. Maybe I wasn't in the music scene enough. I was young still, but yeah, so... That is the answer there. So, all right, next. McDonald's was the biggest food or fast food company in the 90s. Fact or fallacy?
In terms of gross revenue or net or number of franchise locations? Revenue?
Yeah.
Well, that was back when McDonald's burgers were cheap. So you could buy lots of McDonald's food, but it didn't give them that much revenue. I don't know. This is an interesting question here. But I'm going to say that's probably true, because there were McDonald's everywhere. And there still are.
And there still are. They're ubiquitous.
Yes.
Oh, dang it. That's not a layman word. I'm going to need to cut that.
Indeed. Indubitably. What do you think, Cameron? McDonald's? It's either that or probably Steak and Shake. I don't know.
I definitely don't think it's Steak and Shake. Yeah. But I think I'm gonna say it's a fact, because I remember watching the sign at McDonald's when we were kids growing up, ticking up. You know how they did, like, it would jump up a million or a couple million every day, till it finally hit a billion sold.
Oh, yeah, when it was the number of burgers that they'd served.
Yeah, so I'm going to say fact.
All right. And yes, it is a fact. McDonald's was huge, still is huge. Yeah.
That was in the days of innocence, before Super Size Me came out.
All right.
And everyone was like, oh, we should feel guilty about eating this cheap but strangely delicious food.
Yeah, yeah. So it is huge. Still is huge, obviously. So additional insight, though, in the 90s, Starbucks grew the most of food, you know, these fast food type companies. Mm-hmm. They exploded, thousands and thousands of stores opened. So they outpaced McDonald's in that area, but obviously couldn't match the revenue by any means. So they were the growth company of the 90s, but not the biggest company of the 90s. All right, so this one is slightly subjective, but there is a correct answer, because I'm in charge here.
Wow, all right.
That's right. Oh. Okay, so...
gone to your head.
all right, so the best actor of the 90s was...
Oh, are we going politically correct term of actor, or?
Hold on. All right, so best actor of the 90s was Tom Hanks.
Wait, is this a true or false?
Fact or fallacy? Oh, based on me, of course.
Based on what? How about true or false? the 90s was the era where the children who would one day become the universe revolves around me and my opinions types really started to take over.
Yeah, well, maybe. But
This is all about whether or not we think Tom Hanks was a better actor than someone.
Look, you might be able to convince me that this is fact or fallacy, but I'm asking you fact or fallacy, and I certainly already have a answer in mind.
I bet. Well, it's like Tom Hanks had a lot of great roles that he got a lot of awards for, from Forrest Gump to the Castaway Wilson guy. And
that wasn't even the 90s. That was the 2000s.
What? Castaway?
Yeah. I saw that in the theater in like 02 or something like that.
So. No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
You better.
Came out in 2000. So, boom.
That's nearly the 90s. All right. Well, anyway, he had Apollo 13 back then, and I don't know what else. So Tom Hanks had those. But I don't know. I think there were actors that had more powerful performances, and we could argue about that all day long, like Robin Williams as both the genie in Aladdin and also that one guy who died in What Dreams May Come. But I think that the more important thing to realize is that the 90s really started, I guess it didn't start, but it really solidified America's utter obsession with movie stars and their importance and the weight that we put behind their opinions, completely forgetting that we like these people because they pretend to be pretend people in pretend worlds, in pretend situations, doing pretend things. And for some reason, we latched onto that and thought that we should really care what these people think. So in summary, I don't care who the best actor was. I really don't. They got some... It's just...
You're not giving a lot of, fuel to our Hollywood sponsorship here either.
No.
You really got to consider that...
But the whole point of these podcasts is to put our own uneducated opinions out on the internet.
That's
which
true.
Is what Hollywood celebrities have been doing since the internet became a thing and they realized that it could be a venue for their opinions. So I'm fighting Hollywood ignorance.
Hey, ours are opinions mixed with fact.
Oh, so. That's true. So I guess we've got a leg up on them.
That's right.
But in summary, the best actor of the 90s are the few that didn't jump on board the I need to throw my opinion out there and tell everyone what to think, even though I don't know what I'm doing and have no real world expertise of any kind. I don't know who those people are. I don't think there were very many of them.
Okay.
Maybe Sean Connery.
Okay, so that is your opinion.
Yep.
Okay, Cameron.
Okay.
Give us what you think. Is this fact or fallacy that Tom Hanks is the best actor of the 90s?
You know, guys, I really like Tom Hanks. I thought he was a great actor of the 90s, but I might venture a couple other people, like maybe Nicolas Cage or Keanu Reeves.
Mm. What, for being able to find a role that he was suited to? Like one where he didn't have to have a personality because he was a pretend person again?
I feel that neither of them really have a great personality, but they were in a lot of movies. I mean,
wasn't Shaquille O'Neal in a movie in the 90s?
Space Jam.
Was he in that? I don't know.
Or are you talking about...
No, he had that genie one, Kazam or something.
Are you thinking of the Sinbad one?
Maybe. I don't know. Whatever. I think Shaquille O'Neal should take the top honor.
I don't know.
The Martian from Space Jam.
The Martian from Space Jam. Yes, Marvin the Martian. Best actor, hands down.
We're not taking... animated actors into consideration here.
Why? Bugs. We're going to take the real people, though, that pretend to be pretend people in pretend worlds and call them? No, never mind. Off that soapbox.
That's correct.
Yes, we don't need to let people know that we actually don't care about what celebrities think, because that offends them. I think just because Matt said Robin Williams, I would go with him, but I'm gonna go with that one guy that I said earlier.
Keanu Reeves?
No, the other one. What? Nicolas Cage. It's Nicolas Cage. This is how much I care about celebrities. They don't stick in my brain. It's okay. Actually a constant fight in my marriage that I could care less about what any celebrity ever says.
So sounds like that would be
not a real fight, but right. You know.
So, do we care about the answer?
Oh, we do. We care deeply.
I don't know that we do.
We do. We do.
Whatever. Take your moment.
So the the true answer is that it is a fallacy. Now, don't get me wrong. I like Tom Hanks. Had some great movies in the 90s. Might top some people's list, but they're wrong. The right answer is Robin Williams, as both of you mentioned him. May I point out, he had the most, truly artistic and moving films of the 90s. He also shaped our childhoods by Aladdin and Hook and Mrs. Doubtfire.
What?
Or maybe not.
Maybe not that one.
Anyway, I would have also accepted Bill Murray. So,
what was the other one Robin Williams was in that was all? Oh, it was the Good Will Hunting.
Oh yes, Good Will Hunting. What Dreams May Come, my personal favorite. Lots of good Robin Williams films from the 90s. That's but right. As a child in the 90s, certainly the movie Hook and Aladdin. He was formative in my youth.
We haven't even mentioned a single actress between the three of us.
I said actor, to be fair. So
there
are some good actresses in the 90s.
I assume that's going to be your next question, lest we come across as...
I certainly do not want to be viewed as sexist. So, yes, I will give you...
Pamela Anderson.
What?
Nope, not it.
And there goes all of our female audience.
All right, so best actress of the 1990s was Julia Roberts. Fact or fallacy?
Ooh.
Okay. Again, for Hook.
A lot of feedback on this one.
I totally agree with Julia Roberts being best actress in the 90s. She did so many great movies in the 90s.
Yeah. I would say either that or Michelle Pfeiffer, largely because they kept referencing her on that cartoon show Animaniacs.
Ah,
she was the crush of all the... Never mind.
Right. Okay.
Of Yakko and Wacko.
Yes.
And I think actually Dot liked Michelle Pfeiffer too.
Everybody liked Michelle Pfeiffer. Michelle Pfeiffer was amazing.
That's like saying Pamela Anderson was amazing.
But no, not because when I... No, it's not even close to the same. They're appreciated for very different reasons. Michelle Pfeiffer because talent, and Pamela Anderson for two other reasons that aren't talent. So,
okay, I'm going to go ahead and call this one fact. I do believe that Julia Roberts was probably the best actress of the 90s. I think some people might...
Team Pfeiffer for life, yo.
Some people might also say Meryl Streep.
But they'd be wrong.
Well, that's correct. They would be wrong. There are obviously a number of other, Nicole Kidman, I believe, was in many good movies in the 90s. Lots of good options there. But Julia Roberts certainly is, if I picture a 90s actress, it's either her or Sandra Bullock. So.
I didn't even mention her.
Yeah.
And you didn't mention Michelle Pfeiffer. I am disappointed in this subjective category. Let's move on to something that is a lot more based in fact.
Okay.
And import.
This is very important and right up both of your alleys. So let's go. The best-selling 90s video game was Pokemon. Fact or fallacy?
Arg. Are we talking just single game or franchise?
We're talking single game.
I think that's correct. I never got into Pokemon, but it seemed like everyone in every school I went to was it was rabidly popular.
Yeah, it certainly was huge. All right, Cameron.
Okay, I'm going to throw out faults that Pokemon was the most popular, and I am going to go with Mario Kart.
Mario Kart.
And Mario Kart, anything Mario. I think, I know that opens it up a little bit bigger, but I feel that Mario was much bigger in the 90s than Pokemon.
There was the Super Nintendo Mario that I guess that probably took second spot. But yeah, I think Pokemon did it. I think that was the number one.
Whenever, okay.
In like 96 or 7 or 8, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it was, I don't have the exact release date.
In,
but
in U.S. anyway. Okay. Also, is this worldwide or U.S. only?
So I believe these are U.S. units, so I need to verify. This could be worldwide.
Is it possible that our podcast is not wholly factually accurate?
Don't impugn the integrity of our facts here. All right.
That's a lot of non-layman words.
Dang it. Don't call me stupid.
We're not calling you stupid. We're calling you unfactual.
Right. I can't personally vouch for whether these are units by listed in the U.S. or worldwide. But here is the facts, whether they be worldwide or U.S. based. The best selling.
To think about the imports for people who are basing life decisions on these facts.
I'm sure some. The best selling 90s video game was actually Tetris.
Well, that doesn't even count.
Oh, it does.
Snake.
It came for free on like calculators and things.
I think you're confusing the 90s with the 2000s.
Whatever.
26 million units moved of Tetris compared to 23 million of Pokemon.
Wow. What was number? Do you know number three?
I believe it was a Super Mario.
Yep.
So you're right that Mario was huge, and obviously, if you're talking franchise, Mario wins the day in the 90s. As far as single games sold, Tetris, which is a bit of a cheat because you're right, it's not what you traditionally think of when you think of game, but it is obviously that's because it's so ubiquitous, and once again, non-layman word, it's so widespread that that it's, you know, just entered the collective conscious that it is assumed. But yeah, Pokemon was huge, but yeah, it came in second.
Oops.
All right.
I assume the next one is true or false. Pokemon was the best franchise of the 90s, right? That's voiced by Tom Hanks. Or never mind.
No, that's incorrect. Okay. The most popular car in the 1990s was the Volkswagen Beetle.
Negative. Wait. I actually sort of know some of this. Popular in terms of best-selling?
Correct.
For different years, it was the Ford Taurus and the Honda Accord. And then if you stretch the definition of car to be something that a family buys to move around in, it's the Dodge Caravan / Plymouth Voyager, which are really the same vehicle. Is what I would suspect.
Okay.
I think I know this one. I'm going to say Ford Grand Victoria. Crown Victoria. Ford Crown Victoria.
That was a police car.
I'm going to say it was the most bought car or most in the United States.
Okay.
I think there's... Yeah, whatever.
All right. So, Ford was overall certainly huge, and they won the 90s in the U.S. for sure, between the pickup and the Explorer, which was like kind of a new SUV, and the Taurus, and the, all of those things. They certainly...
What? I didn't realize we were talking companies.
No, we weren't, actually. I'm just listing all the all the makes that Ford succeeded with in the 90s. Ford Fiesta, internationally, was the best-selling car of the 90s.
Not really. Hmm.
Yep.
I could bench press that.
Yeah. It was kind
of large.
Nope. So just a little peon of a car. But yeah, that was now the Volkswagen Beetle was in America, at least. I don't know about internationally. One of the top best-selling cars of the last century.
I would say the 2000s. Yeah, definitely.
Well, it actually. So I didn't know this. The so the bug, there's a bug in the Beetle. Apparently, the Beetle is the technical term. Even though, so I, when I was looking it up, I was under the impression that the bug was what we're talking about for in the 90s and 80s and 70s and 60s, whenever it started being sold. But apparently, they called that the Volkswagen Beetle, at least in the articles I was looking at, and that sold up until the until 1997, which is when they stopped selling that. So, and that became one of the best-selling cars of all time. But yeah, in the 90s, however, the Ford Fiesta internationally was the best-selling car.
Huh. And domestically?
I don't have the list domestically.
Oh, my goodness. Weakness of the data.
Internationally.
I have...
I just remember a couple of years, Ford kept advertising the Taurus as the best-selling car in America. Until Honda took it over at some point, and then Ford didn't say anything for a while.
I have 1995 data for the United States, and in that case, the Ford Taurus was number 4 behind a couple pickups and the Ford Explorer.
Mm.
So Ford F-Series pickup was number 1. So
interesting.
Yeah,
so we're definitely saying overall, the Ford company did a good job in the 90s.
Yep. Yep, they were very successful in the 90s. So, all right, so that's some of my facts. Cameron, did you have any facts you'd like to regale us with?
Here's a fun one. Did O.J. Simpson actually commit a murder?
Oh, well, that is a fact. I think he's actually, even relatively recently, essentially... admitted to it on record.
Yeah, I don't know that I even want to touch this one though.
Well, he didn't either.
I remember watching that stupid car chase. That was in 1994, and it was on all the channels. And I was really annoyed because I'd been watching something. And nope, O.J. Simpson now.
O.J. Simpson. So I mean, if we go with the court standing, he did not commit murder. But
yes.
And then I believe was it what a year or two ago they actually did a series on like Netflix or something, the O.J. Simpson something.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they had some type of documentary about that whole fiasco.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Here's another one. It's late 90s. When Napster launched, in the next 2 years, this is fact or fiction, did they have over 30 million users?
Napster launched, did they have 30 million users?
After 2 years, did they have over 30 million?
I would say yes, probably easily.
So, I mean, if I...
Do any of our listeners know what Napster is anymore?
Probably not.
Think of YouTube for music, but without the video, and also questionably legal.
So, they had to fix that.
So Spotify and iTunes, except less legal. Okay, so the hesitation is that late 90s is when everyone's getting a PC in their home, but it is still early as far as market penetration for internet. And so 30 million is a big number. That's like 10% of the U.S. population. Now, we're just probably talking internationally. But 30 million users. Well, Matt said more. You know, just to be contrary, I'll say no, they didn't have 30 million.
All right.
So yeah. A fallacy. Matt already chimed. He said it's a fact.
Okay. It is a fallacy.
What?
Fallacy.
They had over 26 million users.
Ah, I win.
So really close to 30, but not quite.
All right. So, see.
Thought that, you know, interesting little thing. Okay. Go a little bit more back to nostalgia. Slap bracelets. I'm sure we all remember those. Fact or fiction. They were created by a high school shop teacher, and parents believed that they would cut off your wrist.
Huh.
It's a two-parter.
Okay. I'll go first on this one. So I can certainly see parents being hyper-protective. Though, you know what? I don't know. Are parents being hyper-protective? Is that like a new age thing? Like, I feel like in the 90s, kids could roam free and generally parents didn't care as much.
I know I did some stupid stuff in the 90s, so I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, you know, there were less restrictions on what children could and couldn't do. And parents seemed to generally care less. So not saying that in a bad way. I think there are upsides to that. But anyway, cutting off children's wrists does sound like a actual complaint, though, that a parent might make. So there's that. And whether it was made by a high school gym teacher or shop teacher, what did you say? Shop teacher?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I can believe that. You know, they got a lot of time to kill, so.
I mean, as we know with our cousin Tim, right?
That's right.
Loads of time.
I'll say fact.
Okay.
Matt?
So you're saying fact of both.
I just haven't given this one much thought. I will say that, yes, it was invented by a shop teacher, and no, nobody was concerned about it chopping off people's wrists.
Okay. All right. It was invented by a shop teacher. Apparently he was playing with steel ribbons and figured that out.
Nice.
And made that. And yes,
and then, he quit being then he quit being a shop teacher because he didn't need to be anymore. Oh yeah, and it also cut off his hand. There is that too, right?
Cut off his hand. Yes. No, actually talking to my wife in the town that she grew up in, they were banned because parents literally thought that it was going to chop off their children's wrists.
Interesting.
So they were not allowed to have that.
Yeah, but you have to keep in mind that town was... Oh, never mind.
Granted, she did grow up in a town of, you know, 4,000 people. and they were mostly hillbillies. I'm not going to lie.
Right. That should have made them more adventurous, not less adventurous, though. So this must have been a thing.
Okay. Fact or fiction, the NSA or CIA said the Furby was one of the biggest security risks of the 90s.
Security risks?
Oh.
How are the... What?
No, I totally buy that one. Yeah, I'll go with... Yeah, that could be a thing.
Why would they be a security risk?
Because it's an always-on microphone in your house.
Ah, I didn't know they had a microphone in them.
Or, well, yeah, I mean, they were programmed to respond to voice commands and things.
Ah, so they're like the 90s version of Alexa.
Yeah, more or less, except way more annoying and pointless.
Creepy looking.
Yeah, if you have a Furby thingy demon in your office or in your house or in your bank or wherever, yeah, there's a microphone recording stuff. How you could exfiltrate that data, that's a little bit more complex because we're kind of in the era before Wi-Fi, or ubiquitous Wi-Fi, as Carl would say.
But
still,
word of the day.
Wi-Fi?
Yeah, I can see that becoming a security risk.
Okay, so I also probably think that that's true, but on the flip side, if anyone actually was using their brain in the 90s, there wasn't a lot of storage available. Recording was difficult. We recorded to tapes back then, so to record any serious amount of data would have been nigh unto impossible inside of a Furby. They're just going to constantly overwrite themselves if they're actually recording anything at all. So while they may have been listening, I can't imagine that they actually had any capacity to record anything more than a couple minutes.
That's why Carl would have been exploited so heavily in the micro cassettes and things.
Yeah, but how much time could you actually record on one of those types of things?
Hours,
a couple hours.
Yeah. Well, still, that's not like nowadays people get freaked out because Alexa's constantly listening and just streaming their data back, or at least that's the concern, right? So
the problem is that people don't get freaked out about it, which is
well,
why
I don't.
Alexa
I've got
is not in my house, thank you.
Hey, Microsoft started that with their motion detection thing first.
Yeah. Now all I have is this computer with a webcam on it that I should be more concerned about than I am.
Okay.
Okay, so yes, I'm going to go
to the podcast.
Yes.
Okay, it is a fact. They did believe that China was going to put listening devices in that and spy on America.
Interesting.
Pretty crazy, right?
Yeah, that's wild.
Nope. Not at all.
With a Furby? I guess that would make sense.
Oh, well, I mean, you don't expect it.
That's like a plot to a bad movie.
It is, but unfortunately, I mean...
One starring Tom Hanks, of course.
You can look up on the internet about some of the declassified listening devices that the CIA has put out there, and the robotic cat that may or may not have actually been killed by a car. But, who's going to expect that the cat is a robot and contains a CIA listening device? Now, when you're the CIA and you've built that stupid cat, you're going to look at everything else a little bit askance because you've just done this thing. And then in comes this little Furby owl bear demon that can listen to you. And you're going to look at that and think, how would I have used that to exploit, so, anyway. Yeah, I can totally see this.
Okay.
All right. Way to go for being the...
Don't even get me started on Teddy Ruxpin.
Yes, Teddy Ruxpin. Okay. One more fun little thing. PowerPoint. Was it first created for Microsoft Office or for Macintosh computers?
So this
that
is...
one just seems like such a random one that it has to be true.
That it's created for Mac is what you're saying. That's true.
Yeah. Because if you think back to the 90s and even today, basically all Macs are good for is input and output. There's nothing in between. So. PowerPoint would be a quintessential Mac application. I'd buy that. And we just lost our Mac-loving audience. That's all right.
No we didn't want them anyway. Okay. If you think about PowerPoint, I was under the impression that it was part of the Microsoft suite to begin with, which would mean it was certainly a Windows application, not a Mac application. Then again, I don't really have a lot of Mac experience, and Mac was huge in the 90s. I mean, still is, obviously, in that, well, Apple is huge. But Macs were huge, and so I could certainly see that being the way PowerPoint got its start, though it would run contrary to what I would have certainly guessed to begin with. So for that reason, because I stay true to my gut, I will say that it is started in the PC, even though I'm not sure that I'm right.
All right, so the article I am looking at, it says PowerPoint is associated with Microsoft, but it was originally intended for Macs.
Ah.
So I believe it was originally written for Macintosh, but I believe Microsoft bought it up maybe and used it more.
Interesting.
So,
okay. Well, that is interesting. All right, well.
I got one more random one if you want.
Okay. Yeah, shoot. Let's go. Last time for one more.
Okay, Saved by the Bell, that popular show that we watched, is that its original name, fact or fiction?
So Saved by the Bell's original name is not Saved by the Bell. Is that the question?
Yeah, well, we can do...
Fact or fallacy?
Fact or fallacy.
Okay.
I don't know. Let me do a quick Google search.
Hey, you're cheating.
Cheater.
Get away from that computer. Or too far away because...
I don't know. I feel a tirade about celebrity obsession coming on. were such upstanding citizens, all of them. I'm going to go with... No, that was not the original name. It was something like drunk teenagers doing dumb things to each other. I don't know.
That wouldn't have marketed well, for sure. So I'm sure they would have had to change that.
I can't believe it marketed.
I feel like I actually have heard this one before, that it was not originally Saved by the Bell. I don't specifically...
Look into this.
Hey, just because I'm more culturally aware than you are.
I'll let you have that one.
I don't actually remember what the name was supposed to be. But yeah, I'm going to say that is true, that the original name, or fact, that the original name was not Saved by the Bell.
Okay, Carl is correct. It was not. It was originally called Good Morning, Miss Bliss. Took place in Indianapolis. Yes, that word.
That's good.
And was in middle school. And it did focus around Zach, but it was him and Screech was there, and a couple other characters actually got moved along. But it was actually, they were the main characters, and it was him kind of learning how to be a better person before it got moved to school. California, in a fictitious area called Bayside that was supposedly the school next to a military base, and that's why it was called Bayside.
Interesting.
90s TV shows.
That could be its own episode, which would not interest Matt in the slightest.
It kind of wouldn't. That's all right.
All right. Well, any other last-minute 90s facts or experiences you want to share before we conclude this episode? Matt? 90s insight.
No, I think we've basically covered all the important developments in the 1990s because we talked about Hollywood actors, professional sports, the music industry. I mean, what else is there in life?
That's right.
Sorry, some bitterness and sadness coming.
Politics. We also missed a couple good lies about politics.
Okay.
unimportant. I don't think anything happened in politics in the 90s.
Let's see. We didn't invade. We went into Kuwait and kicked Iraq out. Then we bombed Iraq again. We had Operation Gothic Serpent in Somalia and Mogadishu. We had a...
The names of those countries are not laymen, so I think you need to...
wow.
I was just going to say some pretty big lies that we were told maybe by a president. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
There was all of that.
There are no weapons of mass destruction.
That
there
is are the 2000s. 2000s.
Out of bounds.
The Reynolds Tobacco Company said that cigarettes were no more addictive than Twinkies and tea.
Yep.
Well, Twinkies are very addictive, so.
Yeah, and then the states said, guess what? You guys have to pay for all the people suffering from secondhand smoke exposure, and cigarette advertising went downhill. Oh, L.A. burned itself to the ground in 1991 with the
riots.
A lot of stuff in the 90s.
Fun, more lighthearted fact, the Hummer for civilians to buy was released in 92.
Oh, that's true. And the Governator got one. And also the Governator became the Governator. Or was that in the 2000s? I don't know.
I don't know either.
It was right around that time.
Well, certainly reminiscing on the 90s can remind us that things have gotten better and worse. But on the positive side of things, phones are no longer attached to the wall.
There were cell phones back in the 90s.
Oh, that's true.
It's just none of us were cool enough or rich enough to have one.
They were a brick.
That's right.
Actually, I think Nokia was the top selling phone of the 90s.
All right. Top
selling cell phone. Anyway.
I think that will do it for us for this episode. We will be back again next week with a entirely new and less nostalgic and more fact-based, or not, episode. And we will see you then.